15 to 20 million.
Jump out.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, which serves Philadelphia and the tri-state area. And we're really pleased with the amount of people that contact us to let us know that they tune in, email us information, talk to me in my travels, give me ideas, and of course are out there speaking up where they shop about things they want to see changed. And believe me when I say change is definitely in the air. Today, I'm going to be talking about a few things, and all of our listeners and supporters are certainly asked to support our efforts to maintain and expand America's, when I say America's, private sector industries and local businesses that are really creating the job for American workers. That's really the most important thing that we can do. We are not a government-supported society where government makes the jobs. It is American sector businesses making the jobs. Joining me first today, I have Rich Logis. And Rich, how is everything with you? Before I do that, I'm going to ask all of you to go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860 AM. And if you're on the internet, no matter where you are, throughout the world, you can check us out and listen live by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. First up is Rich. What's happening new with you, Guy?
Michael, good morning. Good morning to all of our listeners. A new year and some renewed optimism and confidence with a lot of our customers, all of whom are our businesses. The feedback I'm getting is that the expectation, the consensus is that our years, our cumulative year this year is going to be stronger than last year. I think that is going to be the case, although, you know, still a number of uncertainties. But as Larkin's pointed out before, entrepreneurs are entrepreneurs in any economic climate. And I do think the overall outlook is better and will be better. So, of course, the two parties will each take credit for things if they'll be better this year. But we'll have to, as we always do, keep our eyes on everything. And, Michael, one thing I want to mention here at the outset. So next week I want to prep our listeners. I've invited, and he has graciously accepted, an invitation to appear. There's a political science professor at BYU. His name is Richard Davis, Dr. Richard Davis, and he's written recently about what he thinks and believes is a growing growing distrust of the two parties and the need for perhaps a third party and more so opening up our election. So he's going to be on with us next week. I'm very excited to have him on. I think he's really going to contribute immensely to the conversation, the overall conversation that we have a lot on the show about change and about voting in the right people and, of course, voting out the wrong ones. So I think he's really going to contribute to that next week. I'm very excited to have him on.
Very good. In fact, Rich, this week, America marked the 50th anniversary of the War on Poverty, which was sponsored by the United States government. And that's one of the things that I would like to speak about a little bit today. But first, we have a very special guest joining us from a convention, and it's Mark Andel, who is the king and founder and most noted man of the Made in America store. And I want to tell you, Mark, everybody is talking about your efforts. We're looking more and more to do things in 2014, because this is definitely the year of American made. I think the mindset of the American people has changed to a point that it will never be able to be reversed again. How are you doing, Mark, out there?
Good. Good morning, guys. Rich and Mike and listeners. Down in Nashville, Tennessee, at the American Bus Association Conference, I'll tell you, Nashville, beautiful, new, brand-new convention center, brand-new hotels. It's nice to see what a city can do when they come together. But we've been here since Friday, and, you know, a lot of people don't understand that tourism bus industry. You have a lot of operators here and attractions like myself being the Made in America store, and we try to promote our brand and get people to come to see the store and promote our mission. First year we did a booth, Mike, and the booth, I'll tell you, I met so many contacts. This was the last day. It's been a long run. We've had some fun at night, too, and Rich, you'd like Rich and Mike. I should have had you down. There's beer and food all over. But, you know, we've had an awesome time. I want to tell you, Mike, I just stopped by the Philadelphia booth because I told them about your show, American Workers Radio, and about me, yourself, and Larkin and Rich, and how we're positive and want to promote Made in America products and the good of the country. And, you know, there's a lady here at the booth from the Franklin Institute right by you, and there's also a lady that represents the Independence Seaport Museum, and she said we make all our boats for the museum right inside. And also I went to the New Jersey booth, and the New Jersey, she's in charge of the state tourism department, and she said they mandated, there's a policy, she can only hand out Made in America products, and I was really impressed. I said, I'm going on your show. Yeah, so New Jersey gets it, you know, Philadelphia gets it. The bus industry is such a huge impact for our economy, bringing people around the country. People don't realize how many millions of dollars are created in the tourism industry and jobs. So this conference, the ABA, has just been awesome. We had Osmond Brothers stop at our booth. We had Pam Tillis stop at our booth. And just been an awesome time, Mike. Yeah, we are accepted well. They love what we're doing. We pushed two things. We pushed our destination up in Buffalo, New York, to come visit us and see what Americans are making, and told them we're up to 6,500 products. But we also pushed the distribution leg and the wholesale leg this year, because I was thinking every gift shop, every souvenir store in the country should have our products. And, boy, has this been a hit, because they said, Mark, it's too hard to find products. I said, let me make it easy for you.
Wonderful.
You know, with madeinamericastore.com.
Wonderful, Mark. You know, I'm overwhelmed by hearing this.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Wonderful. You have really, Mark, I'm going to ask you if you would get me at least a program from the exhibits, who was there, some of the bus companies. Quite frankly, I would like them to come to historic Philadelphia as well.
Because absolutely. And that's what, you know, that's what your booth there is doing, trying to get them people in. And I'll tell you, you want these tour buses. It brings so much business and work to the area, and then it lets people see what you're all about in your area. And you can create jobs, and, you know, it's awesome when you understand. I'm understanding this industry. It's only been 3.5-4 years for me, but it really does play a big part on our economy.
Absolutely. In fact, Mark, one of the things that I am always interested to hear when people from up your way come to historic Philadelphia, and when I say, oh, yeah, we have Mark Yandel, he says, oh, yeah, we've been to his store a number of times, and, you know, we've been to his show, his anniversary show. So, I mean, word of mouth means a lot. Programs like this mean a lot. But initiatives like we are trying to do, change the mindset of people, get them back to where they should be, get them away from all the nonsense, and put their dollars back into supporting Americans and American made.
Yeah, I think, Mikey, you know, this year, 2014, I feel real good. I want to get healthy, get self-sufficient as a business. But I think Rich and you and Larkin, we all agree, you know, the government, let you know, get out of our way if you can't help us. Let's grow and get positive. And I feel it down here. I ran into people from Mississippi that use my website, and people that came up to me. You know, I shop online, and I'm just impressed that people do believe in it, and they do like what we're doing. And we've had a great show, great contacts. It's just been awesome.
Oh, man, I love it. If you can get me any of that information, and if anyone has any internet sites where they have the bus groups listed or whatever, Mark, I'd appreciate you forwarding that to me. What I would like to do is put them all on our site and encourage them, of course, to go to every place in the USA, but also make sure that historic Philadelphia is one of their destinations.
Absolutely, and unfortunately, I can't spend the whole show with you, but I just wanted to touch base with you, let you know it's going good here, let you know I'm promoting your radio station too, and said you know what a great job you've done for years, and that it's making a difference. So you know, have a great day. Thank the listeners and Rich and Mike. Take care, and we'll be talking next week.
And Mark, what you'll have to do is you'll have to listen to yourself and the rest of the broadcast online when you get home and relax, because we'll be talking about you during the show as well. We want to thank you for calling in, and best wishes to you and your whole crew down there.
Sounds good. Rich, do you have a question?
Yeah, Mark, real quick, I was thinking, just real quick, since you're in Nashville, I was thinking about some good marketing for Congress as well as for the Made in America store. So I was thinking that you dress up as Elvis, do an impersonation in Elvis country in Nashville. By you, maybe you and Dan could do a little less conversation, a little more action.
I think you
got a dual achievement: message to the government, Congress, and the right and America as a whole, and get some marketing for Made in America. Enjoy Nashville. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Hey, Rich, you would have liked it. We brought Ricky Lee, who we do a lot together for our veterans in the store. And Ricky Lee's from Altoona, PA. He came down here for the 3 days and sang at the booth. Boy, was it a hit. You would have really enjoyed yourself. But, you know, these musicians, he was a star down here, so it worked out real well. But, guys, take care. Thanks for having me on, and have a great show.
Have a great trip back home. Take care. Bye-bye. Well, Rich, that was another very positive report. I enjoy hearing that. Of course, Mark is always doing his best to promote what's happening today in our life. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a report, and I'm going to ask that you make some comments on what I have to say. But before I go into the report, I want to say that many people in my travels tell me, well, we can't fight government. Government is in charge. Rich, this is something that I know you'll really enjoy. And our listeners have to understand that government is doing what they do with our money. And I want to remind all of our listeners that we, the people, pay the taxes. Government doesn't pay the taxes. They take our tax dollars and then use them according to what they feel is best. In fact, many of the services that are offered by the government, I think, should not be termed government programs. They should be termed tax-supported programs, and that would make the American people think twice about what they're supporting. When they think government, they say, well, Uncle Sam is doing doing their best to help us. It's not Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam only uses our tax dollars, Rich.
Well, Michael, this is, you know, part of the overarching theme of what it is that I'm in the midst of working on with our political project, which we've deemed, I think appropriately, the lesser of one evil. Because I do think right now, and this is part of the reason why we're going to have Professor Davis on next week, is that it seems that every year with every passing election, I read articles about the growing dissatisfaction that the electorate has about how the two parties are, and specifically about what I think is accurate to assess as an unwillingness to work together. And there's a variety of reasons for that, not the least of which is that one of the things that essentially makes the two parties quite similar to each other is that they each have the same goal, which is to get elected and to stay elected. And they can use what really amounts to unlimited means, financial means, by which to get elected and to stay elected. And this is a true stumbling block for those who would otherwise, I think, look to support a candidate who could be as objective and independent as possible. But what happens is we settle for this lesser, what we perceive as this lesser of two evils.
You're right. And Rich, I have to say that in Pennsylvania, a few of our elected officials and one or two in New Jersey have decided, these are younger people, decided that after 4 years or 8 years or 12 years, they are going to call it quits and let someone else go down to Washington. I admire them for doing that. And of course, the reason they say is I want to spend more time with my family and so forth and so on. But in the process of these people stepping out, a number of new people have come up on the block now, and they're starting a campaign which is totally different than what we have seen in the past. And I heard about it over the last few days, and I hear more things are going to be happening. Right in the local districts, we're going to have more people vying for those two positions and some outsiders looking to be independent. I like that. Rich, people are starting to wise up and they're starting to consider what's going to make America click once again. What's going to get our clock moving back and forth the way it should? We've sat back and saw the country go down the drain. Now we have to put the Drano down. We're cleaning out the pipes, and we got to get back to some sort of level of normalcy. Rich, before I go into announcing some of the statistics just announced this past week, I'm going to pause for a few messages. Today, I want to acknowledge the support of a very important individual, Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law. Now, his office is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and Leon and his staff are there to assist you Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning until 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours every Tuesday. No matter what you need in the way of legal services, call Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, at 215-739-8521. And I've been speaking a lot about Net Cost Market. They're located at 117,001 Bustleton Avenue. That's at the Leo Mall, just off Byberry Road and Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. If you want to have an unbelievable experience, park your car, go in, enjoy all of the aisles of meats, groceries, dairy products, beverages, and so much more. Stop by Net Cost Market. Once again, they're at 117,001 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And when you're in Philadelphia, people love to give a try at winning it big. I encourage you to visit the Sugar House Casino, a longtime supporter of our broadcast and the community. They're located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. Visit them on the internet at sugarhousecasino.com. And if you have some type of auto body repairs and you want to have it done by a real professional, well, Mr. Chester Kshanovsky and his staff there at Serena's Auto Body Shop want to remind you they have two locations, one at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, and the other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For all of your auto body repair needs, call the gang there at Serena's Auto Body at 215-535-6606. And when you're out shopping this week, look for the name Giorgio, a symbol of quality since 1928. And Jan Majewski and everyone from Giorgio Foods wants to encourage you to look for the Giorgio name where you shop. They offer a great selection of frozen food products, and also they have those great mozzarella sticks and all of their mushroom products as well. And Mr. Frank Spula, national president of the Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance organization, invites you to contact them for all of your life insurance needs. They also have traditional and Roth IRAs and P&A tax deferred annuities. For more information, you can give them a call at 1-800-621-3723. This is a national organization covering all 50 states. So no matter where you are, give them a call and they'll let you know who the contact near you is. And also, if you need information about housing insurance, maybe your auto insurance or life insurance, you can call Karen Jannad and give her a call at 215-862-5490. Karen Jannad is a State Farm agent, and I encourage you to give her a call for all of your insurance needs. And Valentine's Day is coming up, and I want to remind you that the Rose Garden Flower Shop is located at 2964 Richmond Street in Philadelphia. No matter what you're looking for, flowers for all occasions, give Rose Garden Flower Shop a call at 215-634-5766. And when you're on Allegheny Avenue in the well-known Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, Port Richmond Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. Stop in and see Marek and Kasia Goharski. They have a great selection of Polish-style meats and deli products, as well as imported products from Poland and Polish-American products as well. They're located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. Do stop by. For more information, you can give them a call at 215-634-3750. Well, Rich, I want to thank all of our sponsors. As I travel around, I meet many people, and it's really good to know that people are concerned about the future of America. It seems that they went asleep for 30 years, but now, somehow or other, the long sleep is coming to an end. And today I'm going to ask all of our listeners to consider some of the statistics that have just come out from the United States Census Bureau, and they're also listed on our United States Debt Clock, which is located right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Rich, some of these statistics I'm going to ask you to comment on. I'm going to go through them quickly, but then I'm going to ask if you would kindly give me some of your thoughts. As of today, there are over 317 million people living in America. Now, of those 317 million, 144 million of those people have full or part-time jobs. And I hate to say, but it's more a growing economy with part-time jobs. Also, number three, the point, 92 million Americans are not in the workforce. And some people say, wow, that's a lot of people. But I want to clarify it. Of the 92 million not in the workforce, 47 million people are now retired, some of them also looking for part-time jobs so that they could support themselves. However, there are 45 million people who are working age and available for full or part-time jobs but can't find them. That's a scary statistic. And how did we get to this point? We're marking the 50th anniversary of the War on Poverty, and here we have this type of thing going on. Now, one other statistic which is very important for us to consider is more people retire every day than people enter the workforce. That's a pretty scary statistic. That has never happened over the years for a long, long time. And it is happening in such a way now where the baby boomers are retiring at a large rate and no people to speak of are entering the workforce. Next point, 14 million Americans, Rich, and listeners, are on disability. Additionally, as we mark the war on poverty, the United States Census Bureau reports that more than 47 million Americans, working people, retired people, and children are listed as living in poverty, which means they are living far below the federal income guidelines described as living in poverty. That to me is very concerning. These are the people that need our help through food stamps and other programs, other taxpayer programs, not government programs. The thing I keep telling people is that we are the government, not those 535 people in Washington. Rich, just these few thoughts I wanted to share with you. And one more thing before I turn it over to you is, in order for America's $17 trillion debt to be paid off, as you mentioned a few weeks ago about Henry's kids, every man, woman, and child, every child just born 5 minutes ago, is in debt to the government for $54,000 each right now. That means they owe Uncle Sam $54,000. Now, Rich, just those statistics, what would you like to add to that?
Well, first thing, Michael, I'm gonna finish my Jack Daniels here because I definitely need a drink after listening to that. And
these are the facts and figures from the United States Census Bureau and all of the departments of the federal government. And remember, we're marking the 50th anniversary of the War on Poverty, the Great Society, the model cities, anti-poverty, all this stuff supported by government, always trying to put people on government instead of take people off government, allow them to get a job and be self-sufficient. I was on a radio program last week, and I had an enormous battle with this person, and I'm using some of the stuff today that I used on him because he was just a very abrupt that I was against government. And I said, I'm not against government. Government is there to protect me, you, and every listener and their family and friends. Government is not there to put their hand in my pocket or anyone else's pocket and fleece me for what they want to spend the money on. Sorry about that.
Michael, so here's the first thing that I say in response to this topic, which, by the way, Michael, this topic is a very good one, like healthcare, that we can come back to a lot on future broadcasts, right? Because we can't just, there's just not enough time to get everything in on a broadcast, and we're going to make this a gradual conversation on the show. But what it tells me is that we have, as a nation, an immense amount of work to do. We can't turn back the clock. We need to move on from the blame game. We have to be forward thinking. And here's how I believe we, as a nation collectively, are forward thinkers. We have to first understand that the reason that we lost manufacturing jobs and we lost other labor was because of burgeoning emerging nations that were developing the infrastructure and the labor force to compete for our business. And if you look at what was considered, Michael, American business, just like the statistic that Larkin brought up last week, like the statistics that were in the American-made film that Mark appeared in, we were making physical things. America was manufacturing. It was making things of high quality that were desired here and elsewhere around the world. Other nations developed the systems and the means by which to compete. Now, whether we got blindsided or whether we knew what was going to happen and ignored it, the reality is the end result was still the same. And that's where we are right now. And I'm gonna evoke something that Larkin brought up on our Christmas broadcast when he gave his wish list and he started talking dirty, talking about the minimum wage. The fact of the matter is this, and this is something that I say that I find some resonance with and some disagree. And it really pains me, Michael, to say what I'm about to say. But if we look at economically in the United States, we show the symptoms, I'm not saying we are, but we show the symptoms of a communist country in this way, and I'm going to explain this. In a communist country, the government and the handful of their buddies hoard most, if not all, of the assets. They distribute the workload to the people who then work for low wages. Now here, certainly, we have wages that are a lot higher on average than elsewhere in those types of economic systems. But the reality of it is that we also carry a ton more debt. So we need to work more, and we need to simply earn more just to pay financial obligations such as debt, taxes, and these things. If we look at our income, federal income tax rates now, Michael, they are actually historically low. So what does that mean? Well, what that means is that everything else around us went up. The Congress, as we know, last year debated about the tax increases, and then there was a compromise met where people over a certain income under a certain income were not going to be taxed, and then over a certain income, I think it was $400,000 in the household, they were going to see their taxes go up. Capital gains taxes went up a little bit, even though capital gains taxes have gone down since every president from Carter into President Obama's first term, and then they were upped a little bit. Well, the capital gains tax is a couple percent increase, and in reality, the mega wealthy of the United States, Michael, don't even know what they pay in capital gains anyway. So if you ask 6 of the 10 wealthiest Americans who are of the Walton family how much each even paid in capital gains last year or this year, for $1 billion, they couldn't even tell you. So what's happened is this. Economically, we have different economic income groups that unfortunately, we see it. There's the blame game, right? There's the middle class and the poor blame the wealthy, and you know, the ones who are considered poor, many of whom, Michael, by the way, do work, right? They have some form of a job and are still getting government supplements because they're not paid by the business that they're at. So businesses not paying, to go back to Larkin's minimum wage point, businesses, when they don't really pay, what happens is people earn an income but still qualify for a supplement, food stamps, SNAP, WIC, all of these various things that they're able to now obtain even with their work. So we're funding the fact that businesses are not paying, even though businesses, Michael, cumulatively have more money than they ever have in history. And I tell people all the time, especially my Democrat friends, right, because my Democrat friends love talking about the minimum wage, and I say this, forget on even on the federal level. States, municipalities, cities, towns, they can control their minimum wage. They can enact legislation. We talk a lot, Michael, on the show about the federal leaders, and we should. And we should, because the federal leaders are the ones that got the most amount of money to play with. And they're the ones that are the ones who enact policies that have an influence in essentially everything, in all of our economic policies. It affects the state, but states, municipalities, they have a say. They have an actual influential say via how they can legislate. So as you pointed out, you know we were talking last week how in Philadelphia there's Made in America legislation being talked about. States can go and do, cities can go and enact their own minimum wage. We don't have to just talk about the federal, Michael. We can talk about our elections from the most local levels as well.
Right. And you know, Rich, one of the things that, as you were speaking, I looked at the statistics again. Our national elected leaders and some of our state leaders as well all look at the same charts that I'm looking at right now and see that 92 million Americans are not in the workforce. Now, they say that of the 47 million people that are retired, several million of them want part-time jobs and can't find them anymore. Also, they see the same statistic that 45 million people who are working age are available for full and part-time jobs right now. But we have no jobs to send the people to. And that's what frustrates many of our listeners. They say, we speak of the facts. Please beg businesses to bring more jobs back. People don't want to be the people sitting around waiting, you know, when the economy is going to improve. They want a job now. They want independence now. They don't want to prepare their tax report again this year with showing that they're on unemployment or they were dropped from unemployment. Part of that 92 million and part of that 45 million are people who've been dropped from unemployment. They're not even on the radar anymore. And yet, government leaders have not taken one step. In the year 2013, I cannot point to a single national elected official that said, my crusade this year or last year or in 14 is going to be getting jobs back, getting enterprise zones back here in the USA where we'll be able to get businesses here, give them a tax break for hiring people so we can bring down the 45 million people of working age who need a job right now. We can bring that number down. We are now at a historic high for no jobs for Americans. And that's true. As I go around, I drive around, I do a lot of traveling around. I see those buildings empty, those stores closing. Now that the holidays are over, many of the stores are downsizing. This should not be happening in this country. And it would not be happening in this country if the people had jobs and they had security. They would go out and buy, whether it was half American and half foreign or whatever. They would be going out there and adding to a positive economy. The positive economy died, Rich, and all of our listeners and supporters, when the American people took no action to stop the lacked and 50-50 balance in the country. That happened. Our national leaders watched it happening. They saw tankers coming in from all over the world where the boats were almost in the water because they had so much goods on them coming in, and they watched tankers leave almost that you couldn't look above to see them. They were several stories high because the tankers were leaving empty to go back to foreign countries to pick up more goods to bring it here to America so they could be sold in our stores.
Michael, this is something that another thing I'm going to say here, which I've said before and I say often in conversation, the world is only getting more competitive. In the 60s, when President Johnson signed that legislation, and I think all of us would agree that times were different, right? It was a different world at that time. As we look historically in hindsight at that time, the nations that we talk about regularly today, China, India, they were developing. They were growing. Now they're grown, and China is looks like, from what I've read recently in published reports, they're going to assume the number one mantle for trade. Now, there you have to put an asterisk next to that because China is notorious for creating numbers and falsifying their own statistics. So whether they're not number one or not means that they're either one or two. It's very clear that they're within the top two along with us. There are other places now around the world that have spent the last 10, 20 years growing and developing. And what our elected officials lack more than anything, Michael, is foresight.
What they lacked is foresight. Rich, in 30 years, I'm sad to say, as these emerging democracies came about, not one person put up a red flag in the USA. I can't find any records of it. And I beg people, if you have records, please let me know. We're marking the 50th anniversary of the War on Poverty, the anti-poverty program, the model cities, and all these other rigmarole projects. And at no time did they have a start point and a stop point. In other words, what I'm saying is, if they saw that the War on Poverty wasn't working 5 years after it was implemented, why did they continue it? Why did they not say, wait a minute, something's not working. We have to put a stop to this. We have to start a new program that's going to bring our industries back, to bring people back into the workforce so that they can earn money, support themselves, and make sure that government programs don't grow to the point where we are going to be hitting, by the end of this year, more than $318 trillion in debt. That's the bottom line. When these people call to speak to me or ask me to come on their radio programs, this is what my feeling is. And I get a good response from their audience, which means that the people have to have a new leadership in America. And that's what I hope we'll be able to discuss during next week's broadcast. But before we go on, Rich, I'm going to come right back to you. I want to acknowledge a few very faithful supporters of our broadcast. And as you know, we are on 7 days a week here on 860 AM. Now, I had a bit of a confrontation with an individual the other day. And he said to me, well, I can't be available on Wednesdays to discuss the issue with you. So I gave him this line. I said, well, John, I welcome you to come on to discuss the issue with me any day of the week. We are on 7 days a week here on 860. I'll make the time for you. And he almost hung the phone up on me. And he said to me, well, I'm so busy, it'd probably be May. I says, well, we'll just wait till May. So we may have a special visitor, and you will be shocked to know who this person is. But I did have a very good discussion with him. But let me go back to our sponsors. I'd like to acknowledge the great support that we receive from Dr. Wojciech Zin of Everest Dental, and they're located at 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. No matter what you need, you're looking for general care, implants, veneers, and all of the other services offered by a quality dentist. Remember, Everest Dental is located at 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Call Dr. Zin at 215-671-0188. And Martin Bednarek, who is the president of Washington Savings Bank, Kazimierz Wielki Bank, is a very faithful supporter of our efforts, and they have 5 locations in Philadelphia. Make sure you support the Washington Savings Bank near you. And if you're planning to do some travel, I want you to also know that Polish American Travel Service is located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. That's at Tilton and Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. Rich, when you were in town, I remember pointing out that place to you where we went to some of those Polish restaurants. And also, when you are in Northeast Philadelphia or anytime, I want to invite you to stop by Net Cost Market. It's an unbelievable market, a great place offering many, many products to you. They also have the Net Cost Club card where you'll save more money than you can imagine. Visit Net Cost Market at 117,001 Bustleton Avenue at the Leo Mall in Northeast Philadelphia. Also, Yolanda Konopacka DeCipio, attorney at law, is always available to handle your legal matters. I encourage you to give her a call at 215-423-4824. And also, I'd like to remind you that Mr. Joseph Drobot, who is the national president of the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, offering over 140 years of service to Polonia, offers life insurance plans, annuities, fraternal benefits, educational scholarships, grants, loans, and much more. For more information, you can call their Philadelphia office, but this is a national organization, and you can check them out on the internet by going to prcua.org or give their Philadelphia office a call at 215-425-3807. And also, Dr. Eva Machak has 2 dental offices in Philadelphia. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. For more information, call Dr. Machak at 215-739-2787. And Mr. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, is also a great supporter of our radio broadcast. He has two locations to serve you. One is at 17th and JFK Boulevard in Center City, Philadelphia. The other is in the Northeast at 8510 Busselton Avenue. For more information, call Michael Steinman, attorney at law, at 215-564-1866. And also, I want to remind you about Mark Andel and the Made in America store. Check them out anytime, 24 hours a day, by going to madeinamericastore.com. I also encourage you to visit us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/American Workers Radio, and you'll be very pleased with what we're trying to do to unite people and inform people. And I have some special things that I'm going to be talking about next week as we prepare for the February edition of National Small Business Weekend. But first, let me go back to Rich, and let's talk about your feelings on what we can do to get those 45 million people, working age people, back into the employment of our country.
Well, Michael, I'm going to, again, maybe some professor at a fancy business school that I didn't get accepted to would come on and show some statistics to suggest otherwise. But when we look at our income situation, okay, there's the side of people who are not working. There's then the we'll call it the middle class, right? As we affectionately call the middle class. And the fact is that the middle class, the average middle class wages, are still, Michael, at 1970s, 1980s levels. So the unemployment combined with the immobility that people have because of low wages, or I should say lower wages when factored in for inflation, all of these things contribute to a weaker labor force, and a weaker labor force then contributes to essentially what we have now, which is that people are not as they can't compete as well. They cannot compete as well because of a lack of certain skills. Entrepreneurs, as Larkin said, and we've said, entrepreneurs will be entrepreneurs, Michael, in any economic condition. But I will tell you this. And again, I don't care what any statistic has shown me to suggest otherwise. When you've got a healthy labor force, entrepreneurs love that because it means that entrepreneurs can then go and compete with other businesses for a skilled workforce. This is the competition is a good thing when people can actually compete, though, Michael. See, the problem with our labor force now is that those people who are not working, and I don't know, Michael, if those statistics factor people who have essentially just given up looking for work. I don't know if that includes that. Maybe we check that.
That's all in that 45 million people.
Well, that's a lot. There's a big percentage of that, undoubtedly.
Because if you look at the debt clock and the Census Bureau, you'll see that they're announcing that the statistics for unemployment went down. Well, that's absolutely not a fact. We did not get more jobs in the country. We had more people dropped off unemployment. That's number one. Number two is the statistic lists that there are so many millions of people that are in the workforce, but looking to be in the workforce. But then there's also this extra additional 15 million people that they're trying to just say don't exist because they stopped looking for jobs. Maybe they got out, went sick or in the job, and they, you know, during recuperation, they're not in the job. Teachers possibly that were laid off, people that over overextended their unemployment benefit and they're having difficulty right now. Even the 1 million people, by the way, this is a hard thing to hear, even the 1 million plus people waiting to have their unemployment reconsidered for another 13 or 26 weeks have been dropped off the list of people unemployed. It's like they don't exist, like they vanished off the earth.
A labor force, Michael, to be competitive, it has to, when it's going to compete for new jobs, new positions, right? People want to move to a new job when it's a better opportunity. And one of the things that is, I think we could agree on, makes it a better opportunity is higher pay. Well, when the moves would be essentially lateral, the workforce remains immobile. Companies just pay what they want to pay. I actually think, Michael, for a lot of businesses, it pains me to say this, but I think a lot of businesses probably like the fact that we're in this somewhat of this slump because it can justify just paying what they're paying anyway. Oh, Affordable Care Act's in, my premiums might go up. I can't pay you more. We've got to lay off people, so you're lucky you've got a job. Those things do not contribute to a robust labor force.
Right, exactly.
A skilled labor force, a labor force that can compete, then entrepreneurs like it. Companies can grow. Jobs are created, Michael, by businesses that are growing or by new businesses that are created and need to bring staff on. Well, businesses, though, Michael, also have to be able to look to the workforce and say, I've got to hire someone whom I think is skilled for this position. And I understand the best training is always on-the-job training, and I'm going to love to hear what Larkin has to say about all this because I think Larkin hit the nail right on the head with his Christmas wish list talking about executive pay, minimum wage pay. I mean, Michael, does the average CEO really work over 3,000 times more than the average worker at a company?
Absolutely. He's absolutely right. Dr. Larkin Conley, he'll be back with us next week. Rich, the thing that is scary to me in speaking with some of the elected officials who try to be, you know, very reasonable with me so that I would not publicly mention their names and things like that. But the thing that upsets me is that they tried to take me down off the ceiling nice and easy by saying, well, we are just in a very difficult situation in the world. We have emerging democracies and countries, communist countries that have come from nowhere and now have grown to these big giants. And my immediate response is, you have been in the legislature for 35 years. Did you not notice that this was happening? Did you not notice that gas went from $1.25 to $1.75 to $2.50 to $3 now to $3.45? When did you not notice that?
Whether they didn't see it coming or knew it was happening and just looked the other way, the end net result is still the same. It's still the same. And I do believe this, that the electorate as a whole, one of the reasons, Michael, that Made in America is becoming prominent again, and I don't think it ever went away, I just think it was dormant, but one of the reasons why I think it is on the comeback, and I think in some areas is surging, is because people are starting to understand Made in America equates with people are working here, people are making things here. If more people are working, more people are making things, what you've got is a labor force that's growing, more qualified, more capable, more skilled. Businesses like it, entrepreneurs like it. It gives candidates for positions a chance to go out there and compete. Some of those people, Michael, will really develop skills and say, you know what, I'm now ready to go become a business owner. All of those things is what contributes to a healthier business.
Absolutely. A hustling and bustling economy.
That's it. America has to decide, the nation, both its voters and elected officials, need to decide something. We have to make a decision, draw the line in the sand. Are we going to just keep slogging along for the next two or three decades, part-time job economy, celebrate little victories. Oh, this thing now is being made in America. You know, my beach chair is, oh, that's great. Are we going to celebrate the little things, or are we going to look to do what America's always done, Michael, which is this? Wherever anyone else does it well in the world,
we can do it better.
We can do it better. Healthcare,
you know,
we can do it better.
You know, Rich, that's why that's why I'm so enthusiastic about making this year the year of American made. And I'll tell you, in all of my conversations and being a guest on different radio programs, everyone's coming to the thinking that we, the American people, can make it happen. More people want American made. More people are speaking up. The bashful people of the past are now starting to become a little more robust in the way they're saying things at the store and questioning people. The old way of just getting rid of you by saying, well, I'm only a clerk, I don't know anything, I just sell what we're here to sell, are now going to their managers and the owners and saying, people are speaking up, they're walking out the door without buying anything because they're looking for a selection of American made, and we don't have it. And why don't we have it? Because our merchandisers decided that we're going to bypass the American-made products that are available and just use the stuff that we get from abroad because that's where we double our money. That greed, that level of greed has got to come to an end.
Sorry for interrupting. One of the things about my political project is as a reminder. I don't think the American people have forgotten that we're the ones who are in power and that the elected officials do work for us. And there needs to be a balance, right, in terms of the people working with government. And I don't think people have forgotten that. I think people have become, over time, disgusted at our political process, understandably. But I'm here to just serve as a reminder with this project that there is... See, we can do something that a lot of places around the world storm the streets trying to do. I mean, look at a place like Egypt, for example, another resounding American foreign policy success, LOL. Every couple of years, they're storming the streets for this change or that. We don't have to do that, Michael. See, we have general peacefulness in the streets. We go to polls. We can have the conversation, we can connect with people. One conversation, Michael, can create another and another and another. So my project is going to serve to remind voters that when you demand it of elected officials, they're either going to respond or you're just going to vote them out of office. And it is actually that simple, but of course the two parties complicate it with their billions in you know, undisclosed or fundraising and political contributions and PACs. And we've got a whole nation that votes essentially saying, well, Rich, they both stink, but I think one's a little worse than the other.
Rich,
what I want to talk to people about is to say, no.
Rich, we're going to continue our conversation next week with your special guest. And I want you to be prepared to welcome him and ask him what is really on his agenda that he would suggest for our listeners. And until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11 here on 860 AM. I want to thank Rich Logis and Mark Andel for joining us today and wish Larkin Connolly the very best. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be looking to hearing from you. You can always contact me by going to michael@americanworkersradio.com. David Zenya, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, everyone.